If you take a look at the sheet, you see the Pesukim for the bracha of Shimon and Levi, and I sandwiched it with a pasuk before and a pasuk after. So first, we have the Pesukim with which Yaakov gathers his children. Vayikra Yaakov el banav, Yaakov called to his kids, Vayomer, and he said, Hey osfu, gather, Ve'agid alachem eis asher yikra, eschem be'acharis hayamim, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you at the end of days. Or literally, what we'll call you, a nikra to happen, may not be with an aleph at the end. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. Gather and listen, sons of Yaakov, listen to Yisrael, your father. Note the switch from Yaakov to Yisrael. We're going to see that again momentarily. But that's the way that Yaakov introduces the brachos to his kids. He gives Reuven his bracha, in which he tells him he has too much of a temper. He says, the pachas kamayim al tosar, you're not going to benefit from flowing like water. And then he gets to Shimon and Levi. And Shimon v'Levi, achim klei chamas mecheiro sehem. That's a very odd clause to translate. I'm going to choose one of the several ways that there are for translating it. Shimon and Levi are brothers. Klei chamas, weapons of violence, are mecheiro sehem, are their trade. There are a few other ways to take it. We're going to come back to that phrase. Bisodam al tavo nafshi. Don't let my soul, don't let me, come into their secret. Bikahalam al pechad kivodi. Don't let my honor be diminished by being in their congregation, in their gathering. Kiveapam herguish. Because in their anger, they killed a man. Uvirt sonam ikru shor. And at their desire, they uprooted an ox. Arura pam ki az, cursed is their anger, because it is strong, ve'evrasam ki kashasa, and their rage, because it is tough. The Malbim has a nice discussion about the difference between af and evra, as does the Nitziv, different types of anger. One may be more overt, one may be kept inside. Achalakem be'Yaakov, va'afitzem be'Yisrael. I will divide them up among Yaakov, I will scatter them among Yisrael. Notice again the switch, Yaakov and Yisrael. And then he goes through the rest of the brachos and concludes, Kol Eile Shivtei Yisrael Shneim Asar. The Torah sums up by saying, all of these are the Shvatim of Israel, 12 of them. Vizos Asher Diber Lohem Avihem. This is what their father told them. Vayivarech Osam, and he blessed them. Ish Asher Kabir Chaso Beirach Osam. He blessed each according to the bracha, the appropriate bracha. There's an awful lot here. There's an awful lot to discuss here. First, just an open question for you. What exactly are these messages for the Shvatim? What exactly is he trying to provide them with, based on what we just read? Well, in Shimon and Levi's case, maybe. But in general, what is his goal? Yaakov is not someone who speaks without a goal. Right? Aside from what we just saw in the first 25 minutes. In general, Yaakov is not someone who wastes his words. What is his goal here? Yeah, it seems like rebuke. Exactly what it seems like. As a matter of fact, it's very funny. Moshe starts to rebuke the Jews in Sefer Devarim in a way that he hasn't until then. And Rashi comments that Moshe learned from Yaakov, because Yaakov waited until the end to provide rebuke. He doesn't do it earlier on. He sort of says, achartem osi, after Shechem, he says, you've messed things up and you put us in a lot of danger, but that's where he stops. He certainly doesn't give this kind of a speech. But how does rebuke fit with the introduction to the brachos, in which he says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you at the end of days. It sounds like it's a nevuah. This is a prophecy. And then look at the summary pasuk that I brought at the end. The summary pasuk says, this is what their father told them, and he blessed them. It's a bracha. What kind of bracha is that? If I go to my father for a bracha, and I come out with this, I'm in trouble. What is this? So that's an overall problem here. What is he trying to accomplish with Shimon and Levi? Next, the words themselves are a little bit odd. Mecheiro sehem is a particularly difficult word to render. Some take it as being from mechira, to sell, rendering it as these are their tools of the trade. Some take it as being like the word megurosam, the land in which they dwell, which is a word we find frequently in the Chumash. And in Yechezkel, we find the term mecherosayich used like megurosayich. So it's a related term, meaning the place in which you dwell. These are their home. They feel at home with violence. So that's another way that this word that this is taken. The reference to uprooting a shore, uprooting an ox, is particularly odd. If it's not a reference to Yosef, we don't understand what in the world we are talking about. So much so that we'll see some actually don't render it as shore at all, but render it instead as shur, which is a wall, as in the wall of the city of Shechem. So we'll see. It's an odd term. The Yaakov Yisrael switch is certainly strange. Even the introduction of it is strange. Shimon Vilayim. Do we have any doubt that they're brothers walking in? What does that mean? Why? You know, what's he trying to say by calling them brothers? What do you think? What do you think he's trying to accomplish by calling them brothers? Yeah, it's an identity. They're two of a kind. None of the other brothers get joined that way. It's only Shimon and Levi. Rashi makes the point that in the sale of Yosef, it says, "Vayomru ish el achiv, hinei balach al motz al azeba." One brother said to his brother, so Rashi says, yeah, that's Shimon and Levi, because Shimon and Levi achim. It's that they're identified with each other. Even the doubling is interesting. The doubled phrases that he uses, it's either very poetic, or it's meant to teach me something deeper. But Bisodam al Tavon Afshi, right? Let me not come into their secrets. Bikahalam al Techad Kivodi, don't let my honor be diminished by being in their gathering. Right? That's a double. And then Baapam Hergu Ish, Birdsonam Ikru Shor. With their anger they killed a man. With their rage they uprooted either a wall or an ox. Right? Arura pam ki az ve'evrasam ki kashasa. Cursed be their anger because it is strong, and their rage because it is tough. Achal kem bi Yaakov, afitzem bi Yisrael. I will divide them up among Yaakov, I will scatter them among Israel. Every single phrase of this is actually doubled. So much so, there's one double that doesn't quite work. If you look at the beginning of Pasuk Zion, this is for true Hebrew files. If you look at the beginning of Pasuk Zion, the parallel would work better if you dropped the word Arur. Right? Apam ki az, evrasam ki kashasa. Their anger is strong, their rage is tough. The problem is the word Arur in the beginning. We're stuck with it. So Ibn Ezra quotes somebody, he disagrees, but he quotes somebody who says we're breaking up the Pasuk wrong. And the Gemara in Yuma actually suggests it. But we don't rule that way. But the Gemara in Yuma suggests it. The word Arur should go back with the word Shor. Ikru Shor Arur. They uprooted the accursed ox, meaning Shechem, or the wall of the accursed one. And then you can start your sentence with Apam ki az evrasam ki kashasa. Worth noting. But I want to bring, relatively quickly, three approaches to this, to reading this. One approach is the approach of Unkelus and Ibn Ezra. Unkelus and Ibn Ezra read this as criticism of the past and a roadmap for the future. They take it as Shimon v'Levi Achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers, meaning brothers in their plot. Their plot against Shechem. They were unified in what they did to Shechem. They tricked the people of Shechem. Ibn Ezra writes it straight out. Ibn Ezra also brings the idea on Mecherosehem. He says they sold out. They sold themselves out by adopting weapons of Hamas. And when he says in Pasuk Vav, sentence 6, Besodam al Tavon Afshi b'Kahalam al Techad Kivodi, he's not speaking about the future. I don't want to enter their secret. I don't want to be in their gathering. He's saying, I wasn't in their secret. I wasn't in their gathering. It's a statement of, I had nothing to do with it. Which is actually a difficult statement for Yaakov to make, because when you look at the Pesukim and the story with Shechem, it looks like he's in the room. It seems like he actually is there. Nonetheless, he's saying, I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't involved when they did this to Shechem. They read, both Unkelus and Ibn Ezra read the word shor as shur. They have murdered Shechem and they have uprooted the wall of Shechem. And here's a very interesting idea from Ibn Ezra. If you take a look at source number 5, the Ibn Ezra, I brought you the Hebrew on the line with the words Ibn Ezra. The Perush Bracha, Tosafos Tova. The meaning of Bracha is the addition of good. Meaning, this is Ibn Ezra back in Bereishis. He says, whenever you see the term Bracha used in the Chumash, it means the growth of good, adding something good. That's Ibn Ezra's take. So the he says, Arur is reduction. If bracha is addition, then arur, a curse, is reduction. And so arur apam ki az, ve'avrasam ki kashasa, is not simply a curse of them. Boy, are they bad people. It's actually a tefillah. He's saying, Hashem, please reduce their anger. That's what he's doing. And he says, I'm going to scatter them among Israel, where they'll do as little harm as possible. And we know, Shimon and Levi do get scattered. Shimon and Levi do get scattered. Shimon gets cities in the middle of Shevet Yehuda, and Levi doesn't have a portion. They actually live in 48 cities around the land of Israel. They don't have their own Yerusha at all. So that's the way that Ibn Ezra and Onkelos read it. Yeah, Shimon's portion ends up being in the middle of Yehuda. It's not a contiguous portion like what others get. Rashi reads this in a similar way, but he adds a twist. Rashi says it's nevuah also. And Rashi is, of course, feeding on that original point we read. This is what's going to happen to you at the end of days. That's what Rashi is picking up on. So Rashi says, they're embedded here, you find a message about the future and the problems that their descendants are going to get into. I brought you the Gemara in Sanhedrin, source number 6, because we're short on time, I'll just explain it without reading it inside. But he says, Bisadam al tavon afshi, I don't want to be involved in their secrets, refers to the Meraglim, the spies. And Bikhalam al techad kivodi, and I don't want to be in their gathering, that's Korach. And the reason he has to do that is because which Shevet doesn't send a Miragel? Who doesn't send a spy? Levi. Right, Levi doesn't send a spy. So Levi is the Korach part. Shimon is the Miraglim part. That's the Gemara's view. Rashi says it's Zimri and Korach. Because Zimri, remember that whole incident with Pinchas and the daughters of Moab and all that, Zimri is the Nasi of Shimon, and he gets involved with the Midianite princess, Cosby. So that's the way that Rashi reads it. And then a third approach from someone known as Rabbeinu Shmuel. He's very little known. He's actually a contemporary, I believe, of Rashi's kids or grandkids. His manuscript was hidden for about 800 years. The Mosadar of Cook published it some time back. But it's fascinating because you're reading from somebody who's from that time, but no one ever knew about him. For centuries, no one had the manuscript. He's mentioned, but no, there was no book to work with. So Rabbeinu Shmuel, as well as the Malbim and the Netziv, suggests that there's more here. It's general rebuke about anger. Reuven starts out, right? Reuven has the first bracha. And Yaakov says, I'm not giving you the monarchy because you're too temperamental. Then he gets to Shimon and Levi and says, I'm not giving it to you either, because klei hamas mecheiro sehem, because you get too angry and you get in trouble. So he's following it up by explaining why they're not getting it either, until he gets to Yehuda, and he says, Yehuda, atah yaducha achecha, you can have it. You're going to have the monarchy. And indeed, he says, they displayed this trait of anger, and I'm worried about what it could do. But on the other hand, Jews need the anger as well. He says, you need anger. If you're not going to get angry ever, then people are just going to walk all over you. So we need it. I'm not going to destroy them, but I am going to scatter them. Think of Hashem scattering the people from Tower of Babel. What they have is fundamentally useful. So if I scatter them among the Shvatim, then they will be they'll be able to be involved productively as we need them. But it's not really a curse of them as much as it is a discussion of anger. Which is, if you see the quote I brought you in source number 7, on that line of Bisodam al Tavo Nafshi, I don't want to be involved in their plots and all that. He doesn't render it that way. He says instead, Behiva Adam Shnehem Bisod Ve'etza, when the two of them take counsel, when they gather in their secrets and their plots, Al Tavo Atza Sam Al Ish Nafshi, may their counsel not come upon the person of my soul, meaning their counsel should not be against the person who is beloved to me as my soul. He's saying they're dangerous. When they plot, they might hurt someone who I love. And when they gather, right? Don't let them be unified against the person of my honor, meaning someone who wishes to honor me. In other words, he's saying they're dangerous. It's not a curse of them. But he's saying their anger is too volatile, too dangerous, and so therefore I'm going to scatter them so that we can use them as we need to, but they aren't going to be able to overpower others. So what you see here, I think, are the different approaches where you have Rashi rendering it as nevuah based on the opening pasuk. Rashi renders it as nevuah of what's going to happen in the future. But the others are unwilling to take it as a curse because it's supposed to be a bracha. So instead, they have to see it either the way that Uncleus Ibn Ezra do. It's a tefillah that their anger should be reduced. This is like a bracha. You're giving someone a bracha. You should be able to control your anger. Or you have Rabbeinu Shmuel's approach that it's, again, not a curse. It's a bracha. We need you, but we're going to need you in a certain way. And so therefore, I'll scatter you among the other Shvatim. Thank you very much.